Welcome to the UX Podcast, where we learn how to turn a rockstar business into a UX machine. UX introduces a simple formula for personal and business growth based around one principle. We can't solve big, valuable problems alone. Starting with this principle, UX equips and empowers us to pour ourselves into people and systems, scale authentically, and create a life of exponential freedom and impact. And now, let's get started with the latest episode of the UX Podcast. What's up, Rockstars? Matt Johnson back with a little bit different episode of the UX Podcast today because I wanted to share a conversation that I had with another podcast host, Brandon Hull. And Brandon featured me on the show Freelance to Founder. We actually met up in person. So this is the first podcast interview I've done. We're literally sitting across from each other in the same room, which is a ton of fun. And Brandon has a really unique kind of podcast format. It's super conversational, but Brandon also goes in and kind of intersperses almost like a director's cut type of commentary and elaborates and goes deeper on the things that really jumped out to him and that he felt like would be helpful to the audience of freelancers and founders that were out there listening. And so it's a very unique format. We covered a lot of things that I feel like we've touched on either in other conversations that I've had on the UX podcast or in solo interviews, but I really haven't put it in context of my journey and how I, through the process of building up the podcast production company and working with the clients that I'm blessed to work with, I basically, in this conversation with Brandon, because of his questions and the way that he was able to kind of help me dig into my story, some things came out about how I uncovered the principles and the core ideas that are now going into the UX podcast and how all that came from the journey and the different kind of crossroads that I came to over the course of building up the podcast production business. And so there's a lot of really, really great stuff that I wanted to share. And so I thought, well, why don't we just take this episode? It was a longer conversation. So we're splitting it up into two parts. So this is part one. And we're basically featuring it and sharing it with you, relatively unedited and uncut from its original version as the Freelance to Founder podcast. And I hope you enjoy it. I'd love to get your feedback on it. If you have any questions about the concepts that we covered, reach out, shoot me an email, shoot me a Facebook message. Happy to respond. Always happy to hear that people are listening and what their impressions are. Without further ado, let's jump in with Brandon of the Freelance to Founder podcast.
Thanks for joining us. Your story is a great one. It's similar to mine in the past as well, and we'll talk a little bit about that as we go. But I think what you're doing now couldn't be more timely. And what has happened with podcasting in the last 6 months to year is pretty incredible. Yeah. And I think it'll be interesting to see how your business has grown, and not just the numbers, but what you've done to make that business grow and how receptive you're finding people.
And speaking of the last 6 months of podcasting, I had Rob Walsh, the VP of Libsyn, on my show here not that long ago, which I know you know. And something like half of the 500,000 podcasts on iTunes right now are 6 months old or less.
Yeah.
So that's what's been happening. So I think we're very quickly approaching a world where everyone has something, a marketing platform like a podcast, if it's not a podcast, exactly. Pretty much everyone that we know is going to be like in this game, this battle for attention that we're all playing.
Yep.
And so, the question is, are you playing to win? Yeah. And that's what I help the clients do. So that, it is a very meta conversation.
Good. So we're talking about the business pursuing results. Where is the business? Let's start at the present and we'll go back in time. Where's the business today? What can you tell us about revenue, employees, contributors, that sort of thing?
Yep. So we have 12 team members. Only one of those is actually a full-time employee who's with me in San Diego. Everyone else is a part-time contractor and a specialist, and they're part of the production process from project manager all the way down to the person who edits the highlight clips that go out on social media. And they can be working as little as 5 or 10 hours a week to maybe 25 hours is really the sweet spot to where people work for us and they have a great life, and we give them consistent income. And then they can do their other projects and fun stuff and higher value, higher dollar stuff on top of what they do for us in the business.
Which, and people don't know this, but we're talking in beautiful, sunny Pacific Beach, San Diego, California. So is it safe to assume that you spend the rest of your time surfing, living the San Diego lifestyle? So this business runs on a couple hours a day and some coffee, and that's all it takes, or what?
Yeah, something like that. I wish I was cool enough to surf. I am from the Midwest, and so I never learned. I've only been out here in San Diego for around the same time as when I started the business, so 3+ years, and never learned to surf. I will hit my head on the surfboard. That's a legitimate fear. And so no, I spend the rest of my time mainly networking, working on content, and then of course a fair bit of relaxing over here around the giant hot tub we have and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, legitimately, I had a very unique experience. So coming out as an agency owner, like my first client as a consultant, quote unquote, was a guy who built a seven-figure business that only took him one day to run. So for me, that was a big part of
your
my
model.
Reality. That was my model. Was I knew going straight out, that was what I was going for.
So that's not something that, it sounds like that's not something that you learned was a possibility. It was something that was built in up front into your expectation. This is how it should work.
100%. Yeah. It was my expectation going in, which is very, very, very different. So I knew the business had to be built in a certain way. We'll end up talking about focus, which is probably, it's a big theme for me in my life and my business for sure. So I know we're going to touch on that a lot, but yeah, for me, I realized that the key to that was finding the one thing I was going to sell to the one type of person. Yeah. So right from the get-go, my goal was to find that one thing and figure out who the one person was.
Is this something that's in your DNA as well? You go back in time, the young Matt Johnson, was Matt always this relentlessly focused, or did it take some sort of reckoning for that to emerge?
No, I don't consider myself a natural entrepreneur. I'm jealous of the serial entrepreneurs that you know started buying and flipping candy when they were seven. I was preaching to stuffed animals and playing the drums. I was not at all concerned with business until I hit my mid-20s and I started a real estate team. I read The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, and that book was about the model of how do you build a business that you are out of production and you are the CEO of the business. That had a huge impact on me. So it wasn't until my mid-20s that I kind of flipped the entrepreneur switch and actually got a vision for building an entrepreneurial business where you weren't actually doing all the work.
So this is back in Omaha?
Yeah, this is back in Omaha.
Okay. And were your parents in real estate or?
No, my dad was a pastor, and that's actually where the entrepreneurial stuff comes from because he started his own church. He left, he was a youth pastor for somebody else, started his own thing, ended up starting three churches over the course of my lifetime. And I watched him run that essentially as mostly a one-man show with an assistant. So you could call him a solo entrepreneur in that space. Church never got bigger than like 150 people. That was a nice sweet spot. Most churches stopped growing at that point anyway. And so he never brought on like a big staff, but I saw the lifestyle of like getting up 6 a.m, rolling into an office.
Sure.
And he was home back with us by like 2:00 in the afternoon every day. It was great for me as a kid. So that was my model for kind of the only thing close to entrepreneurship I had in my life was watching him do that.
That's not the story we're used to hearing.
No,
just FYI, I've talked to people that have started businesses almost on accident in some cases, or almost shut them down because they were hobbies or projects on the side, and they doubled down or whatever. But nothing along those lines. That's haven't heard
I have
that
a
one.
Very weird background, so I'll get around to doing something more in that in the spiritual space later on. But yeah, I'm trying to like who was it? I was listening to Derek Sivers on Tim Ferriss's podcast a while back, and he said something really good that freed me up a lot, which is to look at your life in like 10-year increments. And I'm kind of right in the middle of that 10 years of being in business. And then who knows? After that, the next 10 years, maybe something completely different.
Good attitude. I like that attitude. You look back at the Matt who was younger, and when you finished high school, let's say, career in sales, real estate was the first thing you did, or... Where did you go first?
Well, finishing high school is a bit of a strong, that's a bit of a strong word. So I was homeschooled. I had 1 year, my junior year of high school, I actually went to, and this was not even a legit school. It was our entire, all four grades fit into one classroom. So I had a really weird school experience.
Okay.
I left after my junior year and said, screw this, I'm going back to homeschooling. I ended up getting a GED, which is what you have to get when you're homeschooled anyway.
Yep.
So I came out of it with a piece of paper, and I've been working full time since I was essentially 14 and a half.
Really?
Like literally getting as many hours as I could while the law prevented me from working full time. Thank you, government. So I wasn't able to make the money that I wanted to make when I was 14, 15 years old, but I've been working ever since then.
Your dreams were being squelched at a young age. Your entrepreneurial hopes.
They were being squelched at a young age.
So what got you going with real estate then in particular?
It was investing first, and then I realized that the investors typically on an average house deal don't make as much as the salespeople do. That's what got me thinking about that. Then I read the book that showed me the business model behind building a legit team. And I was very fascinated with team building and still am. That's actually what led to what I'm doing now. One of the podcasts that I launched and co-hosted for a long time was called the Team Building Podcast. And it's for real estate teams. That actually led to me becoming sort of an unofficial category king in podcasting in that very niche space. And there's some stuff to say about that in a second. But
how many years ago was this? When was this?
When I first started a real estate team.
Yeah.
So it would have been right around 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago.
Okay. All right.
06, 07.
And the podcasting tied to that started when, how long ago?
3.5, right when, so that first, when I left my agency and became a consultant, that's what I did.
Okay.
Is I helped him launch his coaching consulting business. And the way that we marketed the business was the podcast that we launched.
So in sales, there's a lot of people who espouse the importance of building your own brand as part of the sales process. And books have been written on that very subject so that you can reduce your reliance on cold calling. Real estate has always been one of those to me, though, that has felt like personal branding is built into the model. I mean, you can't just be an extension of Century 21 or whomever. You need to stand on your own two feet as a personal brand. You think that's true? Is that why podcasting seemed to be such a natural thing for you to do next? Or did you just have an interest in both things? Or
okay. Well, so the podcasting that I did, this is one of the big pivots in my life, was I realized that I had kind of built up a brand as a marketing expert for real estate people, and then realized that that was not at all remotely what I was interested in. One of the reasons why I love the team building, it led me to realizing that my core market was actually the business coaches and consultants who were teaching entrepreneurs how to build their businesses. And part of the problem with real estate and coming out of that world is you realize, and I realized this way back when I built my own team, is that most agents are actually terrible at marketing. Brand marketing is baked into real estate. But when they say brand marketing, mostly they're talking about taking pictures with their dog and sending out recipes to the mail. It's the worst and lowest form.
Made jokes about that the other day. Real estate agents and their dogs in their photos
easy.
On their business cards. Yes,
it's way
with
too
cowboy
easy to
hats
make fun of
oftentimes.
With cowboy hat, very important, very important. Most of the branding, it's built in, but it's also terrible. And it's not actually based on any sustainable competitive advantage. In fact, there's a whole realtor association that's built seemingly to prevent any agent from making any claims that would differentiate them from other agents.
Really?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, it's a and very
yet,
weird marketing environment.
When it's all said and done, we as lay consumers, home buyers or whatever, are going to work with somebody who we relate to.
Yeah.
And the brand is sort of a peace of mind. Part of it, right?
Yeah, mostly in real estate, the brand is just that little reassurance that you're working for a legit company and then everything else is who has the
financially
relationship.
Financially backed, but it's really about the person.
Yeah, 100% about the person, which is very confining, by the way.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's a great team leader who's a good example of this. She now teaches the expansion for Keller Williams and does the classes for that whole system. She found when she built her real estate team and she built in all of her marketing systems were based around her and her name and how awesome her system, like her, basically the marketing that she was doing. She went to go start another real estate team and it flopped, right? Because you can't, that's not transportable, right? Like you can't, there's only so much you can scale your marketing if it's based on how awesome you are. And so that was one of the things that I noticed even before I launched my agency. And that's why I'm not super active on social media because the brand isn't about me. It's about podcasting and it's about the clients and it's not about how awesome I am.
Yeah.
And I learned that from watching real estate agents make that mistake. And the few that got it right, that figured out how to focus their marketing on their systems and how good the system was and then guaranteeing the results of the system, they're the ones that built sustainable businesses where they could actually exit the day-to-day and the clients were okay with it. Hey, Rockstars, thank you so much. I appreciate you investing your time, your effort, your energy into the show. I don't take that lightly. I so appreciate you all listening and the feedback that I get from those of you who listen and engage with the show, whether you agree or disagree with the things we talk about. I love hearing from you, so please reach out. And if you are in the audience and you're a business coach, a consultant, or you're in creative services, and you're thinking about using guest appearances on podcasts and interviews to boost your business, grow your brand, build more influence, and attract ideal clients, or maybe you're watching other people in your space do that, and you're wondering if this strategy will work for you and how to make that work, I did a special training with a client, Dana Malstaff, who runs the Boss Mom Podcast. We produce her show. And we did a training all about that. And it's called How to Get Featured on the Right Podcast fast and get your ideal clients flocking to you. And a few of the things that we covered in that training, it's short, it's content packed, it's only about 35 minutes long. And we talked about how to get featured on podcasts in less than 2 hours a week, how to find the exact right podcast for you and make friends with those podcast hosts, how to become micro famous so you're known, liked, and trusted in your space, and really how to craft a story hook that really gets the attention of podcast hosts and gets them to say yes when you reach out and pitch yourself as a guest. And so we talk about all that and a bunch more in that training. So it's available at howtogetfeatured.com. That's howtogetfeatured.com. Pop your information in there. It's free and you get it in, you know, instant access to watch. You don't have to wait for a follow-up email. You don't have to wait for a fake webinar that's not actually live. None of that. It's a recorded training. You get instant access. So go check it out. I'd appreciate it. And I've said it before on previous episodes, this is my number one marketing strategy for myself for 2019. And I learned a lot of these things in the process of building the system for myself and my staff to pitch me as a expert guest on podcasts. And whenever somebody, whether it's one of my own clients or my friends and peers and colleagues in the space that we all run in, it's my number one recommendation for them to grow their brand, build their influence, and attract ideal clients. So if that's you and you want more of that, go check that out. That's at howtogetfeatured.com. Thanks again so much, and we'll see you on the next episode of the UX Podcast.